Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another day here at the Damage Report. What is being labeled, I see in the Twitch chat, as Tuesday Newsday. They're all supposed to be news days, but maybe Tuesday has some of the most interesting. We'll see. Don't let JR find out. He might get offended about Big News Wednesdays. But anyway, we have got a packed rundown for you, and we've got to go along with it an awesome guest returning once again to the show. David Schuster, how's it going?
Oh, John, great to be on with you. Thanks. I love Tuesday News Day, Newsday Tuesday, whatever we call it. A lot going on out there.
There's a lot going on. For all the way from DC to the lower atmosphere, we're gonna have some news for you today. David, you've been on the show before. What would you say your actual title is at TYT? Is it contributor? Is it host? Is it, how do you prefer to be labeled?
I kind of like the title news czar, but no, I think the official title is something like it's host, correspondent, producer, some sort of combination of that. People can find me on Rebel HQ, and then they can make up whatever title they want. But I believe I do have a dragon name. I think my dragon name is Rebel Dragon, right?
Yes.
The Dragon Rebel.
That is true. I like it. And yes, everyone should definitely check out your work. What would you say, if people haven't, or if they're not familiar with your recent work here at TYT, what would you consider your own personal beat news-wise?
That's a good question. I would say, look, a couple of things. I have a very strong interest in politics, of course, and race relations. What I generally try to do is take the 20 some years of experience where I was sort of under beholden to the network sort of standards of reporting and how you craft together a piece and video, and combine that with, I think, some of the progressive sensibilities and smarts that everybody on the left has, and do some analysis. So people will recognize perhaps some of the storytelling from sort of a network style perspective, but there'll be added, I think, focus on, I think, the issues that are of greatest concerns to all of us who are progressives. And so, for example, with race relations, I've done a lot of videos to try to really explain what exactly is white privilege and why is it that police seem to attack African Americans in a very different way than they go after white people, and try to use videos to explain all of that. Also get into politics, also get into things about the economy. So it's sort of across the board.
Awesome. That is awesome. Speaking of news standards, a little bit later on the show, we'll be talking about the falling standards for the way public health issues are communicated on certain mainstream news networks. And we've got a lot of other news besides. So thank you for tuning in wherever you are. If you would do us a favor and hit the like button and share the stream, that would be great so that people know that we're live. You might say, well, wait, wouldn't they know that you're live? After all, they've subscribed to your channel. Mm-mm, that's not how it works anymore. We need all the help we can get, unfortunately. So please provide that. And if you want to send us tweets, comments, super chats, anything like that, myself and David will respond during the little breaks that we take. But that said, David, are you ready to jump into some of the recent domestic
political
developments?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We are about to launch into the Capitol Riot Commission. July 27th is gonna be the panel's first hearing. And to go along with a date, we also have some names. So who is actually gonna be on this thing? Well, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy appointed Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks to lead the Republicans on the Select Committee. But his position and the four other GOP picks are contingent on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's approval. So who are they including? Well, other members include Illinois Representative Rodney Davis, a moderate who serves as the top Republican on the House Administration Committee, Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, the top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Kelly Armstrong, a lawyer by trade who served on the House Judiciary Committee during the first Trump impeachment, and freshman Representative Troy Nels, a former sheriff who supported Capitol Police in turning back rioters who tried to break into the House floor during the siege. Now, some of that sounds like, hey, that's good. You know, you didn't want the cops to be overrun and murdered, yay. But also bear in mind that three of those, Jordan, Banks, and Nels, were among 139 House Republicans who voted to overturn the election results, while Davis and Armstrong voted to certify the results. So three of them like literally said, oh, you guys have your violent tactics. You're gonna try to get in there and just steal the ballots or overthrow the entire government. Oh, that's cool. Okay, I'm not gonna actually help you. That seems like I don't wanna get all sweaty. But I will vote to overturn it. I'll use the power I have. So I don't know exactly where we're at in terms of the approval of them coming from the speaker, David, but it's not the worst list. They didn't put Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Greene or anything like that, but it doesn't seem as if this is an indication that McCarthy is taking this entire thing all that seriously.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis. And also keep in mind that Congressman Jordan, he is a tour de force among Republicans, right? He is somebody who has a track record of being able to bend committees to his will, to convince other lawmakers to follow his sort of lead. So I think by taking these, what I would say, milquetoast Republicans, who are not, you know, you would call them backbenchers. You probably wouldn't know who they are, except that they've now been identified as being on this committee. And you put a very, very strong conservative like Jim Jordan, who's going to do McCarthy's bidding. And I get the sense that at least the picks are a PR ploy so that McCarthy can say, yeah, you know, we're kind of taking this seriously, but by having Jim Jordan on this committee, I mean, he's going to, I think, drive the Republicans towards this crazy idea that somehow Antifa was involved or that they were just a peaceful group of protesters and just a few knuckleheads. I mean, that's the direction I think that they're going to take. And so it's a tough call for Nancy Pelosi because on the one hand, she's going to get some Democrats to say you cannot have Jim Jordan of all people on this committee. It's going to be destructive to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be taken seriously. But maybe there's some political benefit for Pelosi to let them have a flamethrower or a bully like that on the committee so that Democrats then make the case Republicans never really wanted to get the truth in the first place.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. I would think you could make that case anyway. I think either way, it's pretty clear that they're not, most are not interested in really knowing what was going on or anything like that. But you're right, and it might drive some attention on the hearings having Jim Jordan, you know, taking off his jacket and wasting a bunch of time with nonsense questions. That's definitely true. Your prediction about which conspiracy theories he might jump into, I think there's a good chance the Antifa thing will show up, even though, like, aren't we past this? Like, Trump has reiterated how many times he loved them, and like, but yeah, sure. I think that the slam dunk bet is that he will waste their time. I think that Jim Jordan is going to waste a whole bunch of time when we have people coming in to testify that hypothetically might have some interesting stuff to say. And that's kind of unfortunate. But yeah, having people on, having multiple members on who voted to decertify the election, it's, we don't have a serious government. We just don't have a serious government. We don't have two serious parties. I would argue we largely don't have even one serious party, but we definitely don't have two. And we are talking about something that resulted in multiple deaths that could have resulted and even more. I mean, having people like, we have this tweet from Jim Banks from the 10:16 a.m. before they knew that they were supposed to pretend that they were like appalled at this. The senators are going to get their steps in today. What the hell does that mean?
What?
I mean, I got a Fitbit on right now. I get the concept of getting the steps in. Why would they have to walk or run more on the 6th, Jim Banks? What is that joke supposed to mean? I think it's pretty clear that it's them being having to run from something, but this is the sort of people they're bringing.
Well, you know, this is not going to necessarily be a very easy thing for the Republicans to do land on the committee, and that's why I think ultimately Nancy Pelosi may say, okay, go ahead, let's let Jim Jordan on, because if Jim Jordan comes on and say tries to bully Capitol police officers who are going to be the first to testify, I mean, I think there's already a sense, at least in most of the country, not all, but you know, majority of Americans do believe that Donald Trump Republicans were responsible for this. Republicans say, no, it's Joe Biden, the Democrats. But I think it's the centrists and the moderates that both parties are focused on very heavily going into the midterms. And if moderates see that there's Jim Jordan being an extremist, bullying Republicans, denying reality of all these videos showing police, 140 police officers being wounded, then I think it rebounds awfully against the GOP. So the GOP's got to be careful in all this as much as they want to obstruct and perhaps get people to forget about this and to get people focused on the peaceful protesters there. You know, the Democrats are going to set this hearing up and put a number of traps in for Republicans. The Republicans have to be careful.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, look, I think. It seems pragmatically that it would be better to just do whatever you can to let the conversation and the public awareness of the 6th die down in advance of the midterms. And putting him on, I think you're right, is going to produce the exact opposite of that. I mean, whether like he's going to be a fire, you know, a flamethrower or whatever, regardless. But if he is like, you know, dredging up old conspiracy theories and stuff like that, that's just going to be even newer footage that they can put over, like voice that they can put over footage of the cops being beaten by these people. But let's go to a little bit of other information. We don't know exactly what the process is going to be like in terms of the Republicans being confirmed for the committee, but Pelosi's selections are available. We've got Liz Cheney, Benny Thompson, Adam Schiff, Zoe Lofgren, Pete Aguilar, Jamie Raskin, Elaine Luria, and Stephanie Murphy. And so, like, she chose Liz Cheney. I get it. Liz Cheney has set herself up in opposition to some of the other Republicans through the course of 2021. But I find interesting, and I'm curious about your opinion, David, that they proposed this bipartisan thing that was gonna have even split on the membership between Democrats and Republicans that was rejected by the Republicans. There's been a period of time since then, and Kevin McCarthy has decided to nominate to the committee multiple members who also wanted to overthrow the results of the election. But despite all of that, the end result, considering Liz Cheney being one of Pelosi's picks, is, I think if I'm doing the math right, that instead of it being 50-50, the Democrats are gonna have a one-person majority. After all of that, they haven't lost much in their hard negotiating on the Republican side there.
Right, and they have lost though some subpoena power, because under the original plan, both the majority and the minority would have, you know, be an even split. So there would, you know, would be no majority minority, but both sides would have subpoena power. Now it's really the Democrats though who get to authorize subpoenas. So if Jim Jordan says, "Hey, I want to subpoena, you know, organizers from Antifa or whoever, you know, he wants to try to bring into this," well, now he's got to get approval. So in some way, I suppose the Republicans have been able to sort of beat the clock out a little bit by delaying things, but they've lost the ability to influence what the hearings are going to look and sound like as a result. And the other thing about this is, if you look at the Democratic picks, I mean, Jamie Raskin, he knows January 6th inside and out because he was one of the lead impeachment managers against Donald Trump. He knows all the video clips and all the materials, as does Liz Cheney, who was a supporter of impeachment. So it's going to be, I mean, I think in some ways it's perhaps brilliant by Nancy Pelosi that even if you say, look, this committee's not gonna do anything, they're not gonna get into the real root causes of all of this, they're not gonna get into Donald Trump, they're not gonna get into the extremism that we have in the right, but still, there's a good chance that Democrats are gonna be able to drive the Republicans crazy by having this wedge between Liz Cheney and the other Republicans, because that's gonna be great political theater to see Liz Cheney and Jim Jordan going after each other over this very sort of somber issue. And so in some ways, I think, you know, the Democrats are playing this pretty smart. Even if you have low expectations about what this committee is gonna end up doing, they're gonna be able to make the Republicans go nuts and essentially stoke a civil war between the GOP over this very issue. So I think smart politics for Pelosi to put Cheney on the committee.
Interesting, and thus I assume, in hindsight now, pretty poor politics on the side of the Republicans that, as yes, you point out, they could have had. But devil's advocate, so what have they gained? Have they in some way gotten a measurable percentage of the population to just throw up their hands and be like, that's just a mess, I'm not gonna pay attention to it? Do you think that they've potentially influenced how either the process will be viewed as it's going, and it's about to start in like a week and a half, or when the final report comes out, is it gonna be easier for them to get people to ignore it as a result of the birthing process for the committee? What do you think about that?
You know, that's a good point. I would say, look, time has helped Republicans, because their whole strategy was, look, the longer we get away from January the 6th, if we have these committees that start, say, 3 months after January 6th, that's very different from starting 7 months. And so I think they're betting that the public is moving on, they're forgetting about it, they're focused on other things. And I think that's part of the play of Republicans, is to try to, you know, get some time and space between what happened on January 6th and when there's sort of this renewed focus, in the hopes that most Americans will say, you know what, I know what happened, I saw the video, I don't need to relive it. I do think the Republicans overall, I think they sort of misjudged all of this politically, because I do think that there's still a sizable number of Americans who have not forgotten about this. And if the Republicans really wanted to put some time and space, they just should have not cooperated at all and said, oh, this is a purely Democratic partisan thing, we're not gonna have anything to do with it. Well, I think they felt boxed in because of where the polling is on all of this. And now they're a little bit sort of boxed in of, well, they are gonna have to address some of these issues, and they are gonna have to take a risk that some of these hearings might be explosive and dramatic and gripping when some of the police officers testify. And oh, by the way, there'll be some political theater between Cheney and Jim Jordan. And as a result, there may be a lot of people who tune in. And this whole effort of trying to run out the clock, I'm not really sure that it's worked for the Republicans.
Interesting. Well, as we said, the process is gonna be starting in not that much longer. So stay tuned. In a week and change, we'll be taking a look. We'll see what Jim Jordan is doing. We can maybe set up some sort of like conspiracy theory bingo and see how many he hits in the first couple committee hearings, but stay tuned for that.
I just wonder if he's gonna try to call Dr. Fauci to this. I mean, even though it's apples and oranges, maybe he's just gonna, no, I don't know.
Why not? Mix it all up. Okay, we're gonna take our first break, but stay tuned, because when we come back, Sean Hannity wants credit for promoting vaccination. Tucker Carlson doesn't want you to listen to him at all. And it maybe even gets worse after that. So stay tuned, we're coming back after this. Okay, well, look, it was a big night on Fox News for vaccines. Are they for them? Are they against them? And it depends on which show. It depends which block of which show you actually watch. But we're gonna try to sift through it and see what we can learn. So let's jump right in with this video.
Just like we've been saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died. We don't need any more death.
Here you have the beginning. We're gonna give you more of Sean Hannity last night with a little commentary on COVID, saying people need to take it seriously, that generated a couple waves of response on social media. So initially there was, what? Really, Sean Hannity? And then there were people who wanted to give credit. And look, as I say, I'm always eager to give these monsters credit for doing the right thing, because so many lives are on the line. But we would go on to learn that the rest of his commentary was not necessarily that consistent with what he was saying there. But that said, David, let's jump in with initially him saying, take it seriously, enough people have died. That is by itself, for me at least, enough to really stand out from the rest of Fox's commentary on vaccination throughout this year.
Yeah, I think this is sort of a remarkable moment at Fox. And behind the scenes, from what I'm picking up from some of my former colleagues, and full disclosure, I was there from, let's see, 96 to 2002. And so I still have a couple of people still there. Behind the scenes, there is this ferocious battle going on at Fox News, and that you have the Murdochs who are now fearful that they could ultimately lose advertisers, that the Fox brand could be hurt if history judges Fox as responsible in any way for the tens of thousands of deaths that are coming because of this new wave of the COVID variants, that the 40% of the country that decided not to get vaccinated, great, you're screwing the rest of us, because not only are you putting your own lives in danger, you're enabling these variants to spread, and eventually there might be a variant that is able to get past the current vaccine. So all of us are in danger thanks to those idiots who are refusing to get the vaccine. And speaking of idiots, when you have people like Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson who are telling their audience, be skeptical of the vaccines, they're not telling you everything. And as a result, you have people who are not getting the vaccines. Again, Fox is now directly responsible for this public health crisis that we have in this country. And I think at a certain point, from what I'm hearing, the Murdoch said, okay, enough. We need to be, at least for the historical record, for the next 6 months, a year going forward, we need to have some key statements from some of our stars that everybody can point to say, no, Fox News was on the side of getting vaccines. We were on the side of science. Yeah. And that's coming from the Murdochs. And yet, and even though you have the hypocrites like Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson who have gotten their own vaccines, but who are egging on their audience to be mad about it, I think they're still sort of pushing back. And so there's this remarkable fight going on at Fox News. And again, all driven by the Murdochs and their concern about, well, what's gonna happen to Fox in terms of its brand, in terms of its image, in terms of advertisers. Fox is already getting a lot of pushback from a lot of advertisers for their role, for example, in spreading the big lie about the election. Yeah. And it sounds like the Murdochs don't wanna go through that again, this time with the pandemic.
Yeah, it is entirely possible. I mean, and we will see as we launch into potentially another wave, it's gonna become more real. But that said, as I implied in the intro, like it is a very mixed bag. So let's go to a little bit more of his commentary, get a little bit more context, and then we will add further context after this.
Research like crazy, talk to your doctor, your doctors, medical professionals you trust, based on your unique medical history, your current medical condition, and you and your doctor make a very important decision for your own safety. Take it seriously. You also have a right to medical privacy. Doctor-patient confidentiality is also important. And it absolutely makes sense for many Americans to get vaccinated. I believe in science. I believe in the science of vaccination.
Okay, so look, that's good, you know. I guess it's not great. It's like, I believe it does make sense for many Americans to get vaccinated. No, you cowardly idiot. You know that it makes sense for virtually everyone who can be vaccinated to be vaccinated. And sure, talking to your doctor and asking questions is a good idea. People should do it more about more things that are going on in their life. That said, you do not need to have a long sit-down conversation with your GP to find out if you should get vaccinated. You almost certainly should. You should have 6 months ago. And so that bothers me. But that said, he does tell you to get vaccinated, or he won't tell you. He says it's probably a good idea for many of you. That follows yesterday on Fox and Friends with Ducey pretty strongly implying that people should. So that's good. But I do want to add even more context. And as John Wolf pointed out on Twitter, before that clip, Hannity criticized the university for mandating vaccines. And after that clip, Hannity brought on a young woman who lost feeling in her legs for a month back in 2019 after getting a different type of vaccine, which, absent context, might be fine. There are consequences to all sorts of medicine. That's fine. But if you're saying, I'm doing the right thing, then going out there and using your limited time to spotlight probably incredibly rare consequences of other vaccines during the segment where you're encouraging vaccines, I get to point out that it seems as if you're trying to say something. Whether you're explicitly saying or not, and I doubt you will because you don't want to be sued, you certainly seem to be hinting at something there. Your thoughts, David?
I agree. And it seems like, I mean, I think people like Sean Hannity and the rest, if they were to come out and say everybody should get a vaccine, except for people of certain, you know, pre-existing conditions or immunosuppressant or whatever it is, then that would be doing a full 180. And that would be going against their theme for the last several months that, oh, there's this evil Biden administration, which is going to force you to get vaccines, which is going to go door to door. And you're going to require a vaccine passport. And if you're going to do anything, you have to be vaccinated. The government's going to come to your door and force you to get the Fauci jab. That has been their main talking point. So what they're doing is they're now on this sort of very thin reed where they're saying, well, yeah, maybe talk to a doctor because if you're pregnant or if you have cancer, if you have an immunosuppression issue, you know, maybe vaccine. Of course, yes, that has been the statement from the CDC, from everybody all along. Based on your medical condition, you make an evaluation. 99% of the public should get the vaccine. There are, of course, going to be some people who shouldn't for whatever reason, and there are different safety protocols for them. But for Fox News to now retreat and say, oh, no, we're not, you know, we're not going to step back and say the government's not telling you to do something. They're still telling you to get the vaccine. They're still coming door to door. Universities are still forcing students to do this. That protects what they've said in the past. So they're not doing a full 180. And yet they can also say, but yes, most people should get the vaccine. And therefore, we, Fox News, are not going to be responsible for the skepticism, the misplaced skepticism that is out there that is causing this pandemic to keep going. It is a remarkable trick that they're trying to pull. And it seems to me mind-boggling that they're going to get away with this, but that's how Fox News operates.
Yeah, and so far they have. And it really does feel like a covering your ass moment. But that said, while I know that that's what it is, if Sean Hannity's thing last night leads to just even a few conservatives not dying that would have otherwise, that's a good thing. I will give him credit for that.
Yes. But
I'm not stupid. And he hasn't retracted anything that he's said or done in his show. So at the same time that I'm giving him credit, I will take issue with the fact that less than a week ago he had on Laura Trump to say that COVID had been about controlling people, quote, from day one. But day one was under Trump. He was the one taking credit for it. So was he controlling people with the vaccine? But you don't have any strong follow up from Sean Hannity there. And he didn't say it after all. He just brought on Laura Trump to attack the vaccine. I'm sure he won't bring her on in the future since she's doing this misinforming. Or for instance, when he, like, this is like a Tucker Carlson moment from last week. He said on his radio show back on April 27th, well, have you gotten your vaccine yet? Which vaccine did you get? How about it's none of your business? How about, well, what do you mean you're not going to get vaccinated? How about that's a choice between an individual and a doctor? I'm very pro-science. I'm not anti-vaccine, but I'm also medical. I'm also a libertarian believer in medical privacy. It's unbelievable everyone wants to know. It's like everyone now, I will tell you, I probably would have told people my decision until everyone started demanding that I tell them what my decision is. So maybe I'll say that you should maybe get it, but like, did I get it? I don't know. It's private. I don't want to say. I'm not going to make clear if it was me or not. You little coward. You know,
it's funny.
David, really fast. Is he vaccinated?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Tucker Carlson is vaccinated. And I'm sure his kids, I'm sure as a parent, he wants to know that his kids are in a school where everybody else is vaccinated in terms of like measles and polio and all those other things that are required if you're going to go to a lot of most private schools and public schools. So I'm sure Tucker Carlson is vaccinated. It is just so fascinating to see Fox News try to do nuance when this is an organization and a media message that has not been nuanced It's not part of its DNA. They're very sort of simplistic. You're with us, you're against us, it's us against them. For them to now sort of take a more nuanced position and say, well, yeah, there's certain cases where maybe you shouldn't get it. It's pretty remarkable to watch them try to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Let's turn to, you know what, actually, before we move on, we were speculating there about Sean Hannity. And we've, like I said, we've been trying to give credit where credit is due, even if it's only barely due. But one thing that has been very rare outside of Fox and Friends is what we were just talking about, actually making clear that you got it. And asking you to do that is not violating your medical privacy. Of course you have privacy rights, you little baby. But that doesn't mean that you can't say it if you think it would save lives. So I will ask this. We have a poll up at tyt.com/polls. Which Fox host will be the first to confirm they're vaccinated? These are the big nighttime hosts, their opinion leaders and all that. We've got Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham. Will any of them, will one of them finally admit that they're vaccinated? Because I would bet every cent I have and every dollar I'll make that they're all vaccinated. I want to know what you think, so you can head to tyt.com/polls to give us your thoughts. But I want to give you someone else's thoughts on Sean Hannity's somewhat about face as we move into this. Sean Hannity last night got some credit for telling people to take COVID seriously. That same night, though, there was a different Fox personality who seemed to be subtly shading the about face by a Fox host. Let's take a look at Tucker Carlson and see what he has to say.
But there are a lot of those people giving you medical advice on television, and you should ignore them. The advice they're giving you isn't designed to help, it's designed to make you comply. And you shouldn't comply mindlessly. You're an American adult. You are allowed to ask simple questions and then demand clear answers. That's why we live here. That's your birthright.
It couldn't be a Tucker Carlson clip, David, without him using the term birthright there. Asking medical questions is your birthright. What are you talking about, you moronic dingus? That doesn't even make any sense. He just like gets fired if he doesn't bring up something that sounds white nationalist every 35 seconds. But there, look, maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe that wasn't about Sean Hannity. I don't know, David, what do you think?
Well, I love hearing Tucker Carlson say, you know, ignore the people on television who are giving you medical advice, because that means we can now finally ignore everything Tucker Carlson has said for the past year and a half about this pandemic, because he's been on television night after night saying, well, maybe the vaccine's not going to work. Maybe the scientists are telling us that it's not as effective as it. I mean, night after night, people have been listening to Tucker Carlson and making decisions based on this. And now he's saying, oh, ignore all of us. And it gets to that very sort of rich moment. Remember when Tucker Carlson got sued? And the Fox lawyer said, look, you shouldn't believe what Tucker Carlson says. He's not a fact reporter. He's an entertainer. Of course he may say things that are not true. And it's almost as if, okay, well, that's the defense that they're going back to now, that, you know, don't take any of it seriously. Tucker Carlson, a moment of truth there, saying, don't believe what you're hearing from people on television, especially maybe on this network, because we're just in it to try to make money off your misery.
Yeah, like you can't say people who are giving you medical advice aren't trying to help you. They're trying to make you comply, which, first of all, when you give advice, you want people to do it. That's why you're giving them advice. So sure, you're trying to encourage them to comply with the advice, but that's baked into the fundamental structure of advice. It's not an interesting point, but the people on TV who are giving you medical advice are not trying to help you. They're just trying to get you to comply. I think you should go and ask simple, basic birthrighty questions of your doctor. But wait, are you trying to help them with that medical advice, or are you in fact just trying to get them to comply with your nonsense? But anyway, and look, I said that it was about Sean Hannity because I believe the timeline is, I know that it's my obligation as a person who talks about news to do research, but I don't want to know that much more about Fox than I'm obligated to. So I believe the timeline is that you have Hannity and then you have Tucker. So maybe it's about that, but you also last night had John Roberts and Fox News medical analyst Mark Siegel talking about the importance of getting more people vaccinated. Roberts actually referred people to vaccines.gov, a Biden website. So I don't know, maybe Tucker Carlson was attacking them, but he is definitely, if he's not responding to medical advice from Fox, he is inoculating his audience against future advice to take the COVID seriously and to potentially get vaccinated. So I don't know exactly who he's shading, but he's certainly not doing his audience any favors.
Yeah, and again, the problem that I have is there's Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, of course, and others trying to be nuanced. Their audience doesn't hear nuance, though. Their audience hears skepticism from Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and makes a decision based on that skepticism that, no, I'm not getting the vaccine because I believe that there's something in there. There are microchips, or the government's trying to control me, or that this is going to be bad for me. And so Tucker Carlson, I guess for his own maybe reputation or maybe so he can sleep at night, is now saying, no, I never said that there are microchips. I never said that the vaccines are bad for you. I'm just saying we all should ask questions. Except that that's not what his audience hears. And I think he knows that his audience is far more simplistic and hears things in a far more sort of simple, less complicated way. And so for his own sake, for his own conscience, I'm being complex and nuanced and sophisticated about this. But his audience hears something very different. And that's, again, where the danger is. Television news, television shows, a lot of them, especially in the mainstream media, they are not about nuance. They're not about sophistication or complexity. And these people know it. And yet they still put the stuff out there. I'd say that this show, others on TYT and a couple other channels are the exceptions to the rule, and that there is room for a sophisticated conversation, intellectual discussion about issues. But you don't go to Fox News to get a sophisticated intellectual discussion about anything.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, look, we've been talking a little bit about the strategy of some of these hosts, including Tucker Carlson. Let's do a little bit of a case study. Tucker Carlson is probably never going to go on his show and say, you should not ever take the vaccine. That's specific. That could be quoted. That could be brought up in some sort of class action lawsuit. But clearly, he is not interested in you taking it. He's not encouraging you to do it. And the end result of watching lots of Fox is that people don't get vaccinated. You can look at all the polls, look at the overlap there. So what does he do? Well, sometimes he encourages you to just ask questions. He goes months without ever saying what those are supposed to be. And he notably doesn't ask any of those questions. He doesn't bring on the head of the CDC and then ask for the stats that he says he wants. But he also sometimes provides outright misinformation to try to make his viewers more comfortable. Now, what would make them uncomfortable? Well, if they were hearing out there that the Delta variant was producing potentially another wave and that it was going to be a wave that hit the unvaccinated, well, if you're unvaccinated, that might make you uncomfortable. And Tucker Carlson can't have that. So last night on his show, some just demonstrable, not factual information. Here is what he had to say about that new narrative.
We're not saying there's no benefit to the vaccine. There may well be profound benefits to the vaccine. Our mind is open and has been from the first day. We never encourage anyone to take or not to take the vaccine. Obviously, we're not doctors. But we know lying when we see it, and you just saw it. To say again in unison, and they're all saying it, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, is simply untrue. That's a lie. There's a massive discrepancy between that political talking point, which is exactly what it is. Thank you, Rochelle Walensky. Thank you, President Biden. And what the data in a bunch of different countries are showing. Someone needs to explain that. Tell us the truth. People can handle it.
Yeah, I would love for him to take his own advice there. But he said the idea that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated is simply untrue. And unfortunately, sometimes there's nuance. Sometimes he will hang his BS arguments on a couple little bits of sort of quasi-information. What he said there, Dave, is just not true. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And when you make that claim, you are not saying that that's the only people that will ever be affected, but you are pointing out the fundamental change in the nature of the pandemic, which produces things like the fact, and you probably, these are stories that we covered at the time. All of the Marylanders who died of COVID in June were unvaccinated. There weren't any vaccinated deaths in Maryland of COVID. Or the fact, as Michael Shore pointed out, COVID is becoming more common in LA. Yesterday at that time, of the 398 COVID patients hospitalized in LA County, zero were vaccinated. The CDC says over 97% of the people that are currently hospitalized across America for severe COVID-19 infections were unvaccinated. Now that seems like a slam dunk. I don't know that you'd need more information than that, but we should also point out that a small handful of states with especially low vaccination rates, like Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Missouri, and Nevada, are driving a plurality of new cases. In fact, consistently, Florida has over 20% of all new infections per day. So all of that, like Ken Klippenstein didn't have to go get this information from secret sources and then hand it to me in a black bag. This is all public information. He's got a massive staff that can do this searching. He says, we can take the truth. So how does he not know the truth? How is he still claiming that there's nothing fundamentally different about this wave? How does he not know that? It's not conceivable. Clearly he does, but he is lying to his audience about something as obvious as this is affecting the unvaccinated far, far more than the vaccinated.
David? Yeah, I mean, it's semantics that Tucker Carlson is arguing. Does he want everybody to say that this is a pandemic that is 99% about the unvaccinated? If that's what he wants us to say, okay, I'll be the first to say it. It's 99% about the unvaccinated. Is it a pandemic entirely of the unvaccinated? No, nobody's ever said that. And maybe that's where Tucker Carlson is somehow drawing an inference from what the Biden administration has been saying. But here's something else that could easily fix some of this. We can all agree, and I think even Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity would agree, there are no microchips in a vaccine. And yet, there was a poll that just came out that found more than half of the people who are opposed to taking a vaccine think that there's a microchip in it. That's something like, you know, almost like 20% of the country. So Tucker Carlson could come out and say, look, you know, shame on the Democrats if they say this is only about the unvaccinated. That's not what the Democrats are saying, but if he wants to say that, fine. But also shame on anybody who believes that there's a microchip in this. There are no microchips in the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Now, he could come out and say that, and that would save lives. And that would cause a significant number of people, the Fox News audience, to say, well, wait a second, but I thought, you know, Bill Gates is controlling me because of this or whatever malarkey. But instead, he goes after the sort of very narrow semantic argument regarding the Biden administration, as opposed to doing something that could easily save tens of thousands of lives by saying, here's what's in the vaccine, here's what's not in the vaccine.
It's a devastating point because his defense is, our mind is open, we're just asking questions. People have questions, they need answers. Okay, well, David has just provided you a perfect example. You could use your massive media platform. People are asking, are there chips in the vaccine? Well, you get to do a full block showing that there are no chips in the vaccine. Think about how helpful that would be to your audience who just has questions they're asking. We'll answer those questions. Stop not even asking the questions. Stop saying, can't we ask questions, and answer questions on your show. That's a simple one. That's a basement level question. Are there computer chips in the vaccine? I'm not gonna expect him to go deeper into that to the level that many others, including us, by the way. We're supposed to just be, you know, we're partisan hacks that are pushing this so that we can gain control over your life. We did segments about the possibility of blood clots as a result of getting the J&J vaccine. Because you know what? People might have questions about that after the news came out. So we tried to help answer those questions, but we did it giving full context about the different risks and the different benefits, obviously. He could actually do that, he's choosing not to. And we have to end this, unfortunately, but I wanna give you one more bit of information because there is a reason that we are once again focusing so much on COVID on the damage report. It is because I am terrified about what is coming. Mm-hmm. I wanna go to this Ryan Strzok tweet. The US coronavirus cases per day via CNN. Yesterday was 34,730, less than a week ago, it was 50% less than that. 12 days ago, it was about 50% less than that. 24 days ago, it was just 10,500. So it has more than tripled in less than a month. We've seen these curves before. Where do we all think that this is going? So we're trying to do the right thing to get this to be taken seriously. On Fox, they'll throw out a couple little things about how you should take it seriously, and then they fill their shows with utter nonsense. Whether it's Sean Hannity bringing on people who've had side effects years ago from a vaccine that wasn't even for COVID, or Tucker Carlson denying the very nature of the wave, or Brian Kilmeade, who Fox and Friends got some credit yesterday for encouraging vaccination. Today, this morning, he lied about the effectiveness of the vaccine against the Delta variant. Just completely making up numbers. Nobody has been able to find where those numbers were actually coming from, but it will probably result in people thinking, well, what's the point of getting a vaccine? I heard on Fox and Friends it wasn't effective against the Delta variant. So we should all be terrified of what's going to happen. And it's only small consolation that it will mostly be happening to them. I'm not gonna die of COVID. I've been vaccinated, so the chances are very low. David and the rest of the people desperately trying to save conservative lives are probably not gonna get particularly sick or die. But we as a nation, as a world, are gonna have to watch all these people who've been given a better opportunity to get vaccinated than virtually anyone else on the face of the earth, choosing not to because they believe the nonsense of these a-holes on Fox News. It's unnecessary. We shouldn't. Whatever, we've gone on too long. David, any closing thoughts on this?
Well, I'd say my only other closing thought is, you know, among the people who are not vaccinated because they can't get the vaccine are children. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. I as a parent, we've decided the moment the vaccine is available to them, they're gonna get it. Other parents may make a different decision. But the fact of the matter is right now, because of the knuckleheads in this country that won't get the vaccine, that is allowing this wave to come, this is a wave that's gonna hit largely the unvaccinated. It's gonna hit adults. There's some indications that children are more susceptible to this variant than to the original coronavirus. And I'll be damned if I'm gonna let my kids get this terrible coronavirus because some idiots out there were watching Fox News and decided, oh no, I'm not gonna. I mean, if you're not getting the vaccine, if you're a grown up, stay at home, seclude yourself. Keep your kids at home. Don't interact with the rest of the population because I'm not going to let this affect my family when our family's doing everything we can to try to protect themselves.
I agree. Very reasonable. Okay, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, a little update on the bipartisan infrastructure bill, and then eventually we're going to get to Ben and Jerry's making international news. They're now the apparent enemy of an entire political regime. We'll have that for you after this. Anyway, okay, so let's see what's going on over in DC. Spoiler alert, nothing good. So how are they gonna pay for this infrastructure bill? And honestly, look, the bipartisan version, the reconciliation version, I mean, both of them are gonna be expensive. They're gonna have to be paid for in some way, but we've known for some time that the Republicans are not going to approve of certain forms of payment. Namely, returning taxes to where they were at before Donald Trump. Having any new taxes whatsoever. Those are two pretty big ones. So one thing that had been proposed was, hey, so we have these laws where you're supposed to pay taxes. We're not talking about new taxes, we're talking about the taxes that already exist. You're supposed to pay them, and like it turns out that you're not, the rich in our country are not. So why don't we fund the IRS and we could figure out which people are breaking the law? And that seemed like it might work. But now it's looking less likely. Senator Rob Portman said on Sunday that IRS enforcement was officially off the table as a means of paying for any part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He cited pushback from fellow Republican lawmakers who dislike the idea of expanding the reach of the IRS, which they have accused over the years of unfairly targeting conservatives. He said another reason the IRS provision was shelved is the Democrats are including a more robust enforcement plan in a separate $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that they intended to pass through the Senate using special budget rules and without Republican votes. The deal would have provided a $40 billion budget boost for the IRS after decades of cuts, funding that would presumably allow the IRS enforcement division to collect unpaid taxes. Recent IRS research says the annual tax gap between just 2011 to 2013 was $441 billion. A Treasury Department analysis used that figure to project a $584 billion gap for 2019. So look, he says two things. One, we don't wanna do it. And two, you guys are gonna do it anyway in the bipartisan version. So David, my question for you is, if it's gonna happen anyway, why not sign on to it? It seems like your opposition, based on what you're saying, is purely symbolic. But you want to symbolically make sure that people know you're against the IRS being able to do their job?
It's illogical. I mean, if you want to somehow put some constraints on how the IRS does its job, then you would think, okay, let's just say, yes, there can be more money for the IRS for enforcement. And we're gonna, as Republicans, we're gonna shape the language in this bill so that there's certain things that maybe the IRS can't do or can't go after. But by just saying, oh no, we're not gonna be part of this at all, then it does leave all of this to the Democrats to say, okay, we're gonna write whatever sort of language we want in this separate bill. But here's the thing that sort of jumps out to me. Never mind whether the Democrats are really gonna put this in this, you know, bill that they passed through reconciliation, or whatever. Here are Republicans admitting, I think, what so many of us have known for all along, and that is, yes, the people who are not paying their taxes are largely the rich, are largely the conservatives, the people who can afford to hire these fancy accountants and create these offshore accounts and all these sort of loopholes. Those are the ones who, yeah, should be paying more. And now you have Republicans admitting it. Yes, those are our constituents. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to make them mad. So therefore, we're not going to allow the IRS to enforce its own rules.
Yeah, and I understand nothing like this can happen, but the idea that government would be manipulated to the point where their clear goal is to aid people in continued evasion of the law feels accomplice-y. It's not in a legal sense, but it certainly seems as if you're giving an assist to someone that you know is breaking the law and you'd prefer that they continue to do so. But somehow they've found that loophole. It is legal. By the way, I do want to point out that some of the arguments against increased funding for the IRS ties back to a story we talked about last week. Senator John Cornyn recently said, I don't think anybody's looking forward to an army of auditors to audit your tax returns. Unfortunately, the IRS has a reputation problem because of weaponization, the lowest learners of the world. Well, we talked, I think, last week about the fact that all these right-wing groups, the Koch brothers and others, these representing billionaires, they had started lobbying against the IRS provision in the infrastructure deal, sending a letter to senators that read in part, no additional funding for the IRS, especially given its multiple scandals over the past decade. We have not forgotten about Lois Lerner's tactics of using IRS enforcement to harass conservative groups and donors. Republicans in Congress shouldn't either. It's all nonsense. That's not actually what happened back then, but it's pretty clear how the billionaire front group, their letter has directly influenced these senators. And the senators are now just spreading it and saying, that's why we're not gonna do it. So that is a very effective form of lobbying, apparently.
Yeah, and there's also, look, if the Republicans are really concerned about the lowest learners who may be out there, and granted, there may be some unscrupulous IRS employees who are gonna look up tax returns and target people they don't like. But you know what? There are rules already in place to deal with those IRS employees. So here's an idea. You give the IRS more money for enforcement. And oh, by the way, part of the more money they have is so that there can be more internal watchdogs within the organization who can make sure that IRS employees are not abusing their authority. That's the grown-up common sense way of dealing this. But to just throw up your hands and say, oh no, we don't want Amazon, we don't want Exxon, we don't want all these people who have great accountants and take advantage of the loopholes. We don't want them to have to pay anymore. We don't want to have to go through an audit. Well, you know what? If some of these large corporations would go through an audit, I think it would actually make a lot of us feel a lot better, because I know a lot of ordinary citizens who go through an audit if our numbers are not perfectly correct. So why shouldn't these billionaires and large corporations do the same, particularly when we're talking about huge amounts of money in their case?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And potentially could be bringing in a lot of money. Let's go back to Ro Khanna's tweet. He says, because of budget cuts, the IRS audits only half of large companies' tax returns. That means there's up to $235 billion in corporate tax benefits slipping under the radar. The solution is clear: fund the IRS and audit massive corporations. I think that makes all the sense in the world. My fear, like, I'm not surprised to see that the Republicans are turning against literally anything in the bipartisan bill. But it's easy for him to be like, I don't even worry about it. It's gonna be in the reconciliation bill. But will it? I honestly, I don't know what like Manchin's position is on increased funding for the IRS, or Kyrsten Sinema, or regardless of what their position might be up until now, once those lobbyists have succeeded in the bipartisan bill, do we think that they're not gonna be turning to try to get one Democrat to side with them to take it out of the reconciliation bill as well? That seems pretty obvious to me, whether it'll succeed or not. I certainly think that it's gonna happen.
I'm with you. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And look, you can argue against anything by saying, well, we can say we need to pass all sorts of climate change legislation because of what the Republicans might do if they gain control. Yeah. But you know what? That's not how legislation works. Anybody might do anything in the future. The question is, what do you believe in right now? Do you believe, yes or no, that the IRS should do a better job of collecting the taxes that are owed to the American people through the Treasury Department? Yes or no?
Exactly. That's an easy question. We have another easy question up at tyt.com/polls. Which Fox host do you think will reveal their vaccination status first? You can go take part in that. We'll be giving you the results a little bit later on. But that is unfortunately all the time we're going to have for our linear first hour. So thank you to all of you who've been watching that. There is more coming though. So if you're watching on our members app, on YouTube, or on Twitch, we're going to be taking a short break and then coming back to break down Ben and Jerry's. They're changing distribution policy when it comes to the occupied territories. We've got a massive wildfire. We've got billionaires launching themselves into space. and one of the worst products I think I've ever seen marketed in the political world. We'll be breaking that down and more after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.